Well, it's always good to go, but it's always greater to get back. Amen. I mean, when you have to drink coffee out of a gas station coffee pot. Woo! That's rough. It is rough. It is good to be back. I truly want to thank Bill and Tim for stepping up and filling the pulpit while we're gone. I've heard nothing but great things about both of them. And so it's my firm belief and desire that you'll be hearing more from them. That you'll be hearing more from them. Amen. There we go. All right. How many of you remember the old game, Follow the Leader? Some of us are getting dated right here. But the idea, for those of you that maybe don't know Follow the Leader, the idea was to mimic the antics or the leadership of the person that was in front of you and in the line, and wherever they went, whatever they did, you had to follow after them. Amen? The funnest part was being the leader. And in real life, great leaders are rare. Hello. I'm glad that we have a Lord and a Savior that we can follow and not have to worry about where we're going. And oftentimes men and women are elected and they're appointed to positions of leadership, but they falter and they fail to act. Listen, I have faltered and I have failed more times than I can even count. But I'm grateful today for a Savior that is forgiving, that picks us back up, dusts us back off, puts us back in the battle. Amen. Without fail, faithful, ethical, and effective leaders. Without them, people will wander. Right. Father, I pray this morning as we look at your word that, God, that you would just move in this place, that you'd move on this preacher, that you would move on your people, that your anointing would be here, God, today. Lord, that your anointing would not only be in this house, but in every house of God in this city today where your word is being preached. I pray, God, that lives will be changed and transformed. I pray for every person watching today by way of the internet. God, we never know the impact that we're having out there. But God, I pray that Lord, that your word accomplishes all that you set it out to do today. And Father, for that, I give you all the praise and the glory and the honor in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hey, before we get too carried away, let me introduce to you today a special couple. I had the opportunity to join together in the holy bonds of matrimony. Shira and Chris, stand up. Amen. Shira and Andrew Christensen. Amen. Hallelujah. That's the good news. That's the good news. The bad news is the 1st of July, they're moving to Alabama. I know. Moving to Alabama. I like Alabama too, but I like it where it's at and our people to stay here. Amen. I've been to Alabama. It's hot in Alabama. Amen. It's the kind of heat that you can't get away from. I went from St. George, Utah, where it was 105 degrees, but it's a dry heat, to Milwaukee, Wisconsin, where it's not so much a dry heat, it's just, ugh. And it was cold. It was so cold that I had to go and buy me a sweatshirt. It was cold. So thank God for grandchildren. My grandson said, "Papa, I got you covered. I've got this blanket." Well, he has. I'd never heard of him before, but he had a weighted blanket. Yeah. Everybody, you know about weighted blankets? This dude weighed 25 pounds. A blanket that weighed 25 pounds. When you crawl under that dude, you are stuck. You ain't going very far, but buddy, I was warm, man. I told Tammy, I said, "We're going to have to find some other blankets, because as nice as this weighted blanket is, I felt like I couldn't move." I learned some things. You know, this is Father's Day, and as fathers, as hard as we try, it seems like we mess it up. Am I the only one? I got maybe two or three. Yeah, okay, good. I'm preaching to the right people. I don't remember getting an instruction book. Did you get one? I know it's called the Bible, but when you don't get the Bible until later on, hello? I experienced something in Milwaukee, Wisconsin this past week. I'd never heard of them. How many of you have ever heard of an escape room? Who's laughing right there at me? Is that you? And I thought you loved me all this time.
That's why you were gone all week.
Yeah, trying to get out of that room. It's the craziest thing. People pay money to get locked in a room. And in the room, they have cameras and they're watching you and they're listening to you all the time. And like the government, exactly. And so you've got to, in this room, you've got to find all these clues. And you got to put all this stuff together, and when you do just the right things, then something, a door or a cabinet or something will pop open, a picture on the wall will just pop open, and behind that's another clue. I didn't think it was ever going to, we would not, I'd still be in that room if it wasn't for my grandkids. Amen, because they were working things out. And after you're in there for an hour, they, whether you figure it out or not, they said that they would let us out. I'm glad we didn't have to find out. But I'm glad as a child of God, I don't have to go through a bunch of clues to find out how I'm saved. It's laid out very plainly in God's word that we have a place to go. There's a promise that you and I have, and we don't have to figure it all out. We just have to accept it by faith and walk in it.
Amen.
Amen. We don't have to go through a bunch of, I mean, I was like, I don't even know what they're talking about with all these clues, but they're putting these things together. I would have been stuck. I'd have had to call 911 or somebody to come and get me, because I was right there with them and I didn't know what they were doing. They eat different back there. We went to a restaurant, a 5-star restaurant. Oh yeah. A Mediterranean restaurant. How many of you know where I'm from? That ought to be a clue. I said, "Well, what is this that we're eating?" Well, the only thing I could identify was a fish. There was a fish on the menu, and so I ordered this fish. And what I paid for the fish, I thought that I was really, you know, I thought I was going to, you know, be in it. I got that piece of fish. That's what I got. A half of a fish that was filleted. They left the skin on it so it'd be crunchy. There wasn't nothing on. There was no vegetables. There was no dinner roll, no salad. If you want that stuff in a five-star restaurant, you're going to pay for it. My piece of fish came on some noodle things. I don't know what that stuff, couscous? What in the world? What in the world? We ain't serving couscous in Myrtle Creek, amen? We ain't having couscous. It looked like little tiny macaroni noodles in tomato sauce, and this fish was on it to hide it. But for what I paid for it, I ate every daggum bit of it, amen? There wasn't none of it getting away from me. I said, well, what about a salad? That'd be $18. $18? I said, what about some vegetables? $16. Wow. Keep it. Yeah. I'll take my chances. Follow the leader. I want you to turn with me this morning to one of my I've preached on this passage of Scripture so many times, but there's always something new because it's living word. Amen. Turn with me in the Old Testament to the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 1. I'll just be honest with you. I don't know how this is going to turn out. But I know God's in charge and he's going to make a way. Amen. So just hang on. When you get to Joshua chapter 1, stand to your feet and we'll read God's word together. Amen? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Just for some background, the children of Israel have been wandering for 40 years in the wilderness. 40 years. And they're about to receive their inheritance. I've been wandering in this wilderness for just short of 65 years, and I pray that very soon we get to walk into our inheritance. Amen. Amen. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving them, the children of Israel. Every place the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, the land of the Hittites, to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I'll be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage. For to this people I shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Verse 9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Now, Father, I just submit the rest of our time to you today, God. I ask you to speak through me by unction today, God. Lord, that your word would just come to me, Lord, that I would be able to deliver it. Yeah. Yes, I have notes before me, but God, I'd rather just have you just dump it in me and let me just pour it out, Father God. Lord, I pray that your word would get out and get amongst us, and I pray, God, that it would begin to do all that you have called us to do. Lord, that your people would be a people that are following your lead. God, that it would be a people that were about your business. Lord, all the more as we see the day approaching and that time is getting short and time is running out. Pastor, I've heard that my whole life. Well, I promise you it's closer today than it was yesterday. And I pray, God, that your people would prioritize their life. And God, that we would make you number one priority in all that we do. God, that we would in fact be strong and of good courage. That we would no longer be afraid nor dismayed, but that we would recognize the Lord our God is with us wherever we go. And for that, we give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. 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 You may be seated. For 40 years, Israel has journeyed an indirect route through the desert. They have wandered and wandered. Why? Because they refuse to do what God called them to do. When God tells you to go in and possess the land, go in and possess the land. Don't go see if you think it's okay. If God tells you to do something and you know that it's God speaking to your heart, just by faith step out and go do what it is that God's called you to do. Don't check it out to see if in your own strength you can do it, because you don't have that kind of strength. So for 40 years they've been wandering, this wandering through the desert. But it wasn't because they were following their leader. In fact, the opposite was true. And with failing faith, they refused to obey God and to conquer the land of Canaan. And so they began to wander. How many of you know wandering is not what God's called us to do? God has called us to take the land. Whether it's Myrtle Creek or whether it was their promised land, there's a new generation now, and Joshua is beginning to be their leader, and they're ready now to cross this Jordan and to possess the land. Joshua had distinguished himself as a man ready, a leader to filled with faith and filled with courage, and he was chosen to be the successor of Moses. How would you like to try and fill those shoes? Joshua didn't say, well, I think you got the wrong guy. Joshua didn't say, well, maybe you need to pick somebody else. Joshua heard the voice of the Lord. He knew it was the voice of the Lord, and he walked into what the Lord said for him to do. How many of us are hearing the voice of the Lord? Four of us. See, church, we got to get to the place where we can follow the leader. We've got to get to the place. Listen, you can't see Jesus. I can't see him. I know he's real. I know his Holy Spirit lives inside of me. But I've never, with my eyes in the physical sense, seen Jesus. I've seen his effect. I've seen what he can do. I've seen what he's done. I've never seen his physical outline. I've never seen any of that. But I'm following him as best I can with my very life. Why? Because I believe by faith that he's who he said he was and that he's as real as he said that he is. I know who I used to be and I know who I am now. In him is the key word, though, Ralph. In him, because we have to be in him. And Joshua's new job now, it consists of leading, listen, more than 2 million people into the promised land, this strange new land, and not only leading them into it, but conquering it. Now, that's a challenge. That's a challenge for even a man of Joshua's caliber. Every new job is a challenge with God. Without God, those jobs can be frightening. For these men that filled this pulpit while I was gone, if they didn't know that they were hearing from God, it can be frightening to stand behind this sacred desk. I can tell you from experience that it does things physically to your body just knowing that you have to stand here and deliver God's word. I get sick sometimes, physically sick. Because this isn't just some chunk of wood that we're standing behind. It represents a sacred place. And to represent the mouthpiece of the Lord, it can be an overwhelming thing, can it, Tim? Yeah. Like, why me? Why would you choose me? I know who I am. I know the failures that I've had. Every new job is a challenge. Without God, it can be frightening. But with God, it can be a great adventure. I wouldn't trade for one moment of being a pastor. I love it. I enjoy it. I'm grateful to God that He would call. It's been a great adventure. I've seen lots of lives changed. Amen. Just as God was with Joshua, He's with you and I as we face new challenges. How many of you know we've got challenges to face? Every day we've got challenges. Most of our days, most of us are facing the challenge of whether or not I will be obedient to what God's called me to do. We're faced with the challenge, am I going to take time this morning and spend time with God, or am I just going to take off and fly by the seat of my pants and do the best I can and hope it's successful? God, lead us and guide us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and in verse 11, it says, now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. So the Old Testament stories, listen, just because we're a New Testament church doesn't mean we throw the Old Testament out. The Old Testament stories were written down as warnings for believers for the first century and for today. And when the Israelites disobeyed, they received punishment. Aren't you glad that we don't necessarily get punished every time we mess up? Amen. I'm glad they don't take us outside the city and stone us. However, how many of you believe that if they did that a few times, things would change? I'm reminded of an incident in the book of Acts when they had all things, the Bible said, all things in common. Ananias and Sapphira had a piece of property and they went out and sold it. And it was their property. They could do whatever they wanted with it. The problem was they lied about the proceeds. Ananias is standing in front of the disciples and he makes this declaration and bam, he falls dead. How many of you know if people start falling dead in church, things are going to start changing? It wasn't enough for him to fall down dead in the church. They took him out and buried him, and his wife came in and she's looking for her husband. Well, what happened? And so she tells her side of the story. And the same thing happens. The very feet of those that just took him out, they're going to carry you out. And bam, she fell down. I'm telling you what, that's probably the makings of revival. Amen? Because all of a sudden, people are at the altar going, oh, God. The church is going to be the fullest that it'll ever be the day after the rapture. The day after the rapture. When people who claim to be Christians sin without repentance, with no desire to change, with no concern for the laws of God, they will receive punishment. When Christ came on the scene, everything changed. The ages past reached their fulfillment, and now the lessons that are recorded in the Old Testament can be understood in the light of the mercy and the salvation of God and of Jesus Christ. And all through the Scripture, we find the promises of the nearness of God. Listen, God is right here in our heart. He dwells within us. Verse 5 says, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I'll be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. That is a promise, church. Listen, whether you're here or whether you're in Alabama or whether you're in Timbuktu, it doesn't make any difference. The same God that's in you now will be the same God that will guide and direct you there and here if we will allow him to do that. I watched a movie while I was gone. And in the movie, this family had chartered this aircraft. And they were flying, and I don't know where they were flying to, but after they had reached their elevation where they were going to fly at, the pilot has a heart attack and dies. And there's not a co-pilot. There's only a pilot. And so the father of the family sits in the co-pilot's seat, and he's trying to fly this twin-engine Piper Cub, whatever it was, aircraft, and he hasn't got a clue what he's doing. It just so happens that the airplane happens to be on autopilot. And so he's just kind of sitting there, and he's doing what any of the rest of us would do. Hey, anybody out there? Can anybody hear me? Hello? The pilot is unconscious. He's not responding. We think he's dead. I don't know how to fly this aircraft. What do I do? And so in the control room in the tower, they're asking everybody in there, do you know how to fly this airplane? Do you know how to fly this airplane? Do you know how to fly? Nobody knew how to fly this airplane. Nobody could give this guy instruction on how to fly the airplane. And they said, well, it's on autopilot, so that's a pretty good deal. At least he's not plummeting to the ground. And finally, they get a guy on the phone that knows how. He's a trainer in flying this particular aircraft. And so he gets on the phone and he starts giving this guy instruction. And he says, now here's what you got to do. You got to take it off autopilot. How many of you know that's going to challenge your faith? Right? You got to take the airplane off of autopilot. And so he takes it off autopilot, and he's got a hold of the steering wheel, whatever it is. It wasn't a stick, all right? It wasn't a stick. I know what a stick looks like. That's a stick right there, what he's got in his hand. That's a stick, all right? And so he's got a hold of the steering wheel, and he's trying, you just bump that thing one way or the other just to tie, and man, it's... And so he's all over the up and down, you know, and they're like, oh, we're gonna die. And so this pilot, this guy's talking this guy into a landing. Well, you got to give it a little more, you got to give it a little less, you got to give it a little more. I mean, he's all this stuff, and this guy's sweating. And he comes in for the landing, and they're like, you ain't going to make it, man. You're not going to make it. Give it all the power it's got and get back in the air. So he gives it and back up he goes. The problem is there's a storm, a tropical storm out there. And so this guy gets the airplane back up and he's flying. And he reaches an altitude and he's like, can I put it back on autopilot? And they're like, yeah. So he puts it back on autopilot and he gets a breather. And they get back on the radio and they say, listen, you have to take it off autopilot and you have to fly this airplane. There's a storm, a tropical storm, and he can't just go fly through this storm because it's bad. And so he starts turning the aircraft. And he's like, autopilot is fine. How many of you know, I mean, everything's smooth. The problem with autopilot is, and this is my whole point in the whole story, because so many of the church have it on autopilot. So many people in the church are flying on autopilot. But here's the problem with autopilot. Although autopilot flies the plane very well, if the plane's going in the wrong direction, if the plane is going in the wrong direction, some point, some way, somehow, you've got to take it off of autopilot and get back going the right direction. And, this guy ended, at the end of the day, he landed the airplane and, you know, everybody was tickled to death and it was a great ending to the story. But the thing that I got out of it was the battle that this guy had between autopilot and flying it under his own power by faith. And the Lord began to speak to me that the church has to take and put autopilot off. Turn it off. Begin to take steps of faith. Begin to do what God has called us to do. And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And church, we got to begin to realize who He is. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. He's our director. He's our leader. If you want to play follow the leader, get behind Jesus, get behind God, and follow hard after Him. He will not take you places you don't want to be. The Egyptians had all kinds of different gods. They give them all kind of different names. But Moses wanted to know God's name so that the Hebrew people would know exactly who had sent him to them. And he called himself I Am, which is a name that describes his eternal power and his unchangeable character. The other night, I don't know, it was maybe even a month ago, I was talking about the sin and things that happen in our life that get us off course. And I went back and I started walking through this book of Joshua. And in Joshua, he in chapter 1, they're saying, be strong and courageous and don't fear and all this kind of stuff. And they he gathers the people together and he gives them this big pep talk. And they determine that he's going to follow hard and they're going to follow hard after the things of God there. And in chapter 3, they start messing up. In chapter 9, they start making covenants with the enemy. It doesn't take very long. If we aren't following hard after God, if we don't on purpose live for His desire and for His glory, we'll just mess up. And in a world where values and morals and laws change constantly, we can find stability and security in an unchanging God. Aren't you glad He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore? It's because of God's nature is stable and because He's trustworthy, we are free to follow Him and enjoy Him rather than spend our time trying to figure Him out. Too many times we try and figure out God. You're not going to figure Him out. You need to learn to follow Him and trust Him. 40 years were wasted because they didn't take what He said and go with it. That whole generation died in the wilderness because they refused to take God at His word. God doesn't have to prove Himself for us. When He tells us to do something out of obedience and love for Him, we ought to just do it. And in tough times, leaders change, but Jesus Christ does not change. He does not change. He's always the same. He served faithfully yesterday by dying on the cross to make atonement for our sins. He serves faithfully today, interceding. Do you realize He is at the right hand of the Father today, interceding for you, praying for you? He serves faithfully today and He will remain faithful forever. And because of what He has done in the past and what He does in the present, He is sufficient for any need that you and I as believers will ever have.
He is able.
He is more than able. What He asks of us is to have faith. To have faith and yes, to have trust. But how do I walk by faith? You just trust the one that's ordering your steps. Amen? Some days are easier than others, and I would be the first one to tell you that. But if you look back through the Old Testament, you'll find men and women who had nothing but faith to hold on to. In Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse 7, it says that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. I'm grateful that I have a salvation that I didn't pay for. I just received it. You've heard me say this before, but I think it fits right here, that when you see a turtle on a fence post, you know he didn't get there by himself. Amen. If you see a turtle sitting on a fence post, you know right off that dude did not get there on his own. When you see a guy like me in the pulpit, you got to know I didn't get here on my own. Amen. Somebody had to put that turtle there. And in a very real sense, Christians are turtles sitting on top of fence posts. We're put there by the grace of God. Amen. Kathy and John, you can come. Someone said, how can I be sure that God is as loving and as gracious as you say he is? Look around. Look around. Look around at the people that God has brought into this place. If you know my history and my past, you don't have to look anywhere but right here to know that God is a God of grace and a God of mercy. Someone asked God, how can I be sure you're as loving and gracious as you say you are? His response is simply to display the church. To just display the church. Flawed, sinful, capable of stupidity and faithlessness. And as exhibit A, demonstrating his infinite patience and mercy. Aren't you glad he's long-suffering with us, church? How else would a group of such obviously fallen men and women get together to do anything for the glory of God? You go back and look at the ones that Jesus handpicked. What a crew. What a crew. The Bible goes so far as to even say that they were uneducated, unlearned men, but they changed the whole world. We're still talking about them today. We're still recognizing their leadership and the way that they trusted God. Who else but God could use people like us? I don't know if you've ever looked at yourself this way, but you're a display case for the glory of God. None of us are deserving, and we need to demonstrate his kindness towards us by sharing it with others. Maybe you're here today. Heads are bowed, eyes closed. And today, you say, what about me? I'd say, well, what about you? What's stopping you from allowing the Savior of the world to invade your life, to change your life, to redirect your life, to redeem your life? That's what he came for. That's what he came for. That piece of fish that they put on my plate, in my opinion, wasn't worth the price that I paid for it. But to the cook, it was worth every bit of it. When you and I look at our lives, so many times we would say, I'm not worth the price that was paid for my salvation. But when you ask Jesus, when you talk to the Father, He'll declare to you, you are worth it all. You're worth it all. Now, what are we going to do with it? You might not think of Myrtle Creek as much of a promised land, but it's a promised land. It's a place that God wants to see His people redeemed. The enemy has held this place captive for way too long. Every time somebody comes to this altar and surrenders their life to Jesus, it's just one more victory for the Lord. It's one more defeat for the enemy. Sunday after Sunday, you can come back next week and I'll give another altar call. I'm going to give an altar call right now. In 3 weeks, you can come back to this place and I'm going to give another altar call. Because there ain't no point in having church if we're not giving somebody an opportunity to give their life to Jesus. That being said, if you're here today and you'd say, Pastor, I've never accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior, but today I'd love to. I believe that time is running short. And I believe that time is coming very quickly when that eastern sky is going to split. Jesus is going to step out on the cloud. The Bible said the dead in Christ will come up out of the ground. And those of us that remain will be caught up together in the air to go with Him. I don't want anybody left behind. I don't want any one of your family members left behind. I don't want any of my family members left behind. I don't want any of my friends to be left behind. On the day of the rapture, I'd just soon Myrtle Creek be a ghost town. Not a soul left in the place, just gone to be with Jesus. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, I need redemption. I need saved. I need salvation. If that's you, I want you to slip your hand up. I want to pray with you today. Anybody at all, say, Preacher, that's me. I need Jesus. Yes, sir. I see your hand. You can put it down. Maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor, I've got saved at one time, but I quit following the leader. Took my own path. Found myself way off course. Today, I've seen the lighthouse. Today, I've seen a familiar landmark. Today, I want to come back under the leadership of the Holy Spirit. God, would you forgive me again? Yes, He will. Will you write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life? Again, yes, He will. If that's you today, I'm going to ask you to slip your hand up. I want to pray with you. Yes, sir. I see your hand. You can put it down. Somebody else say, Preacher, that's me. Anybody else? Anybody else? Listen, if you raised your hand, I'm going to ask you to get up and come right here to the front. Come on. Come on. come see me right here. Come on. Come on. Come on, buddy. Come on. Come on. Bless you, man. God bless you, sir. God bless you. Come right here. What a great day. You see, we don't never know what the Lord's going to do through two people that are willing to stand before a congregation and rededicate and recommit their lives to the Lord. We don't ever know what God can do through your life. What God can do through your life. But I'm excited to find out. Amen. I'm believing that if we'll follow Jesus and listen to the voice of the Lord and read His word and pray, He's going to direct our path. He said He would. Amen. Let me hold your hands. Pray this prayer after me. Say, Dear Lord, I thank You that You have given me another chance to serve You, to follow You, to be redeemed. I admit I'm a sinner in need of a Savior, and I'm thankful today that I can accept You, that my sin is washed away, that my name is written down, that there is being built for me a place in glory, and it's mine. And I thank You for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen and amen. God bless you guys, man. Proud of you. Proud of you. Proud of you. Let these guys minister to you this morning.